Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry now presents The Bible on Trial, a show that tests the teachings of Christianity against the words and the teachings that Jesus Christ gave to his own eyewitness disciples while he was here on earth. Join us for a challenging and unique study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. Hello and welcome everyone to another edition of the Bible on Trial, brought to you by Spirit of Truth Ministry. My name is Dennis Neufeld and I'm here with Rick Sterling in the upper room studio over at his house, because there are certain mitigating issues why we are not at my house today. We also have Dr. Don on the phone, and I'll put him up in just a minute here in order to hang on here. I just got bumped out of my screen. There we go. Just to say hi. We encourage you to get your Bibles out and get ready for our study. Before we do that, today's date is November 20, 2020. So that's 11-20-2020. Bunch of 20s. So we are glad that you've taken a few minutes out of your busy schedule to join us today for another program where we discover and learn truth that's been around since the universe was created. But some of it is brand new, even to us, and we are delighted that you've joined us for our program. Our websites are located at spiritoftruthministry.net. There you will find a lot of good information written by Rick Sterling. And there we go. And you will find our book, The Spirit of the Church, also written by Rick Sterling and me, Dennis Neufeld. We encourage you to go there as a resource and read the book, especially with an open mind. We also have our original website, which is spiritoftruthministry.net/S, capital M. There you will find all sorts of good writing and reading, and you can use that also as a resource. Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, life is getting interesting. And by interesting, some of it is not so good, but it is a good thing. Thank you that you've preserved our lives for this time. Thank you that you have made it possible for us to live through these exciting experiences and to see the coming of your kingdom to this earth. I pray, Father, that as we go through and study what it is you have for us today, that you will keep our minds open, our hearts free to listen and learn. And I pray, Father, that all of this will be done to your name's honor and glory. And I thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I'm going to get Don up here real quick. Good morning, Dr. Don.
Good morning. I'm sitting here by a railroad track. Pretty noisy.
So good morning, everybody. You're out train watching, huh?
Good morning.
Well, there's a little road close to the farm here where we take the dogs for a walk. It's a fabulous place. It's kind of off to the side. It's a beautiful street. And the train is about 100 feet away, so when the engines go by,
it gets pretty noisy, doesn't it?
I'm sitting out here, in the beautiful. It's beautiful.
Well, wonderful, Don. If you want to talk to us, go ahead and push one, and we'll put you up. And thank you, Rick, for being here and for letting me come over, because we had a fairly major issue happen at the house on Tuesday night, and I described it a little bit in the episode info. But suffice it to say that we had a power surge, and it basically shut down half the house. And it is And there was...
including the part that heats the house.
Yeah, including the part that heats the house. There was clothes in the washer that had just filled, and that went off, and so I've had...
That's what an extension cord is for.
Well, we can't do anything with an extension cord. There's not enough power to run a small heater from any of the outlets that are live. We are literally...
like the capacitor.
The heater turns on, but there's not enough power to power.
Is it gas?
It's a gas heater, but there's not enough power to power the fan. The only thing that we were able to do was preserve the refrigerator on a single separate circuit, and everything else. I mean, we have lights in the bathroom, lights in my bathroom and lights in my wife's bathroom. I had to run a power cord from that bathroom into a small light in the bedroom. So we have a small light, and I can't put that light on if my bathroom light is on. So there is a huge drain somewhere.
So you're running everything through a 15 amp.
Something like something. Well, I literally have two breakers on. And one of the breakers is one plug, and it's interesting. This house the sub panel had been put in prior to us moving in there 20 years ago, but it was not an original with the house. In other words, who knows? And so I have a contractor friend of mine looking around, seeing if he can find anybody, electrician, who's willing to come by. We had an electrician come by yesterday, and he was able to basically say this had to be an outside issue. Thankfully, that will work. I have to get a report from him, and that will open a claim on the homeowner's insurance. So. You know, life has been fun. I have to tell you, life has been fun. But one of the things that did come about in this for me is that, for instance, it can take up to 5 days to get to Southern California Edison to come out and open a meter. I called on Wednesday morning, and they said it could take 5 days. We can't guarantee when he's going to come. He'll just come.
5 business days.
5 business days. So, you know, just be prepared. 9 o'clock the next morning, he was there. opened the thing. I called up Barrett. Barrett came over because he had a day off. He's a firefighter and he does electricianing on the side. He is actually a licensed, bonded electrician. His dad saw to it that he had that. Danny Kohler is the one who put in our 200 amp service, and he checked everything when he put that in. He went through the entire system, and when he put that in 15 years ago, the house was perfect. Okay, so now we are waiting to hear from my friend who's getting an electrician for me, and we'll see if they can come in and maybe get things done today. Who knows how long this is going to take, but we are alive and well. No fires. There was nothing untoward happened. It's inconvenient, but not devastating.
And it's not freezing cold and snowing.
Well, it was cold last night.
Last night, but you have blankets.
Well, we do. And it got to 64 degrees in the house. And so we're going to open up and let the house warm up to a whole 73 today. And hopefully we'll have heating on tonight. So in any case, God is good. What I wrote about today was filing a claim with the insurance company, and it's interesting because they need proof.
Finding facts, right?
They have to have proof.
What's that, it's not a saying, it's a statement, a
like,
fact.
Like an aphorism?
You're entitled to your own truth, but you're not entitled to your own facts.
Right. And in that case, truth is opinion.
Well, exactly.
Right. because the pure definition of truth is fact.
But you know, there's a good example of what's going on right now in this country.
No kidding. Man, jeez.
And good morning, everyone. This is Rick, and very happy and honored to have you join with us today in our study. It seems like we always have a little bit more to talk about than the study as life goes on for us. And my wife, I took her down to the eye doctor, have her eyes dilated this morning. And when we got up this morning, of course, we were rushing around because I had to get her down there. And she couldn't find her cat, and she was sure that the cat went outside, and that cat is not an outside cat. And so she was sure that coyotes got the cat, because called, and the cat did not show up. So, of course, we prayed about it. She had me pray. And I got home, and the cat was on the breakfast stool at the bar. Where have you been? What do you mean? Where have I been? Where have you been? Anyway, facts and evidence are very important things. You can argue with the facts all you want, and that's what's happening today in this country. Although I have to say that it looks like the, and I will term them the fraud side, are not as vehemently defending their situation as one might think you would be if you knew that the accusations that have been made were false. In fact, the fraud side is not even getting involved in an investigation to see if there is any fraud. And they are hampering the other side from doing any investigation. Does that sound familiar to you?
It does. It certainly do.
Fraud is a terrible thing. Just ask Sidney Powell, who used to be a federal prosecutor, and now she is working with General Mike Flynn to get the fraudulent case brought against him dismissed.
And it should have been already.
Judge refuses to dismiss it. But don't worry.
Be not dismayed.
I will tell you what the end will be. The end will be that President Donald J. Trump will be confirmed as the winner of the 2020 presidential election, and he will be sworn into a second term. And I heard someone say that an angel talked to her. And the angel said that Donald Trump would be elected in 2020 and in 2024. And when the angel was informed that that was against the current law, the angel said the people will change that law. So we'll see how that all plays out. But would you be interested in knowing that this certain situation is subtly revealed in prophecy? And it's what we've been talking about for the last few weeks. In fact, I sent a letter to the president explaining how this situation can be found in Prophecy of the End of Days. I've been noting that a lot of media and pundits and whatever else you want to term these people, experts.
Well, and yeah, the terms have to be genteel because we don't do the other thing here. Although
yes,
might
thank you for pointing that out, Dennis. To hear it the way we talk, one would wonder about that, right?
Well, but we don't use nasty language.
No. I would say we refrain from that, but in order to refrain from that, it would mean that you would want to.
We have workarounds for that.
Yeah, we're in a temperate environment. Temperance is important. Anyway, these pundits have been saying, well, you know, if Donald Trump hasn't won this time, then he's set in perfect position to win the next time in 4 years. Little do they know, the world is just, wait, now what I'm saying about the world, the deep state world, the elites in the world, have the system of governance all ready to go. In fact, they're starting to enact little elements of it in other parts of the world right now, with lockdowns and curfews and prohibitions. This you can do, but that you cannot do. On pain of arrest and fines or confinement.
And what would you call it, radical elements can go out and protest and actually riot. And there's no consequences
to
them.
But they're part of that deep state system.
If you want to go to church, you would be arrested.
Yep. So what I'm talking about is described in Revelation 13. I'm going to read Revelation 13 so that those of you who are not too familiar with it, I'm going to go through it. And I'm going to explain certain elements as we go along. Revelation 13 is connected to what is termed in Revelation 12, where Revelation 12 talks about a great war that was fought in the heavens. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels, but they were not strong enough. Can you find it? And they were cast down to the earth. The dragon and his angels. He took a third of the angels with him, those who embraced his ideology. I'm sure he promised them wealth and power over the people of earth, those who are in their kingdom, the kingdom of the world. And they were cast down to the earth, and there is a warning to those who are on the earth. And the warning goes like this, starts in verse 13 of Revelation 12. And when the dragon saw that he was thrown down to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. And two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman in order that she might fly into the wilderness to a place where she was nourished for a time, times, and half a time from the presence of the serpent. And the serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman, so that he might cause her to be swept away with the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and drank the river, which the dragon poured out of his mouth. The dragon was enraged with the woman. Sorry, I got something in my throat. The dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest or the last of her offspring. Who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. There's a statement made in verse 10 that we need to keep in mind because it connects to chapter 13. And I heard a loud voice in the heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his anointed have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even to death. For this reason, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, knowing that he has only a short time. Now that short time, how relative is that? Well, I suppose for the devil, it would seem quite short. For the devil and his those who participated in his insurrection have been here in power for tens of thousands of years. But he knew that when a ransom was paid, well, let me back up. He knew that if he could get the man and the woman in the garden to fall for his lie, that God would lose any claim over the earth as far as authority goes, authority over the people. God owned the earth. God created the earth and everything in it and on it and over it. But God needed to give the people of earth an opportunity to decide whom they would serve. Will they serve the devil, the dragon, and his gods. Or would they obey God, their creator? You see, that's important. Animals don't have a choice. Trees don't have a choice. Birds don't have a choice. Humans, people, they have a choice. They have a choice of whom they will serve and whom they will worship. That was the purpose for creating the man and the woman. God informed them of the things that they needed to know. But God needed them to demonstrate that they loved him. And the demonstration of that love would be that they believed him. And if he said, don't eat from a certain tree, what they would understand from that is that he is saying, if you love me, don't eat from that tree. You will do what I say because you love me, and I say it because I love you. It was only for a purpose of demonstrating their love. They don't question why he said don't eat from that tree. If he said that, that's fine. Now, we've got 1,000 other trees to eat from. It's not like we're going to starve to death. We see the devil. He knew he needed to get the man and the woman to disobey God, because if they did, he had them. You see, God had said that if you ever eat from that tree, on the day that you eat from it, you will be put to death for your disobedience. You know, and you might say, well, that's harsh. But is it? If the tree was set apart from the other trees in the garden, as it was holy, and to touch it and eat from it would be an unholy act. And when we look at what God instructed the children of Israel in their behavior, it was very similar, or pretty much the same, if they committed any of these certain capital crimes, they were to be put to death. Which is why when the Son of God was here on earth and he said, for instance, before Abraham was born, I am. And they picked up stones to stone him because he was claiming to be God. But you ask yourself, well, Satan? Satan's not only claiming to be God, he says he is God. I will set my throne higher than God. And in the uttermost heights of the north, he had the people of earth worshiping him. He said he was their creator and their provider, and they needed to obey him. It all boils down to sin and slavery. As the Son of God said, anyone who sins is a slave of sin.
And all of this, Rick, depends on who you believe to have the facts. That little meme that I showed you from our vet. Eve is pictured with an apple in her hand, and she says, God says, if I eat this, I'll die. And the snake is back there saying, that's a lie. And this is a picture of the world's first fact checker. You see, if the facts are, if the fact checker is on the side of truth, that's one thing. But if the fact checker is on the side of lies, that's a, quite another.
And that brings us to what we are taking a look at today. What would have happened if the man and the woman in the garden had not listened to the serpent, had not obeyed the serpent? Well, we are not given any information about that specifically, but we are given information from God about what he will do if you obey him. That there's a plethora of information in the prophets, and there's information in the law of what God promises to do if you obey his command.
Particularly in Deuteronomy 30.
Deuteronomy 30, all the way through the prophets. I mean, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. Ezekiel even has the Valley of Dry Bones,
right,
and all that restoration. And, you know, and I will raise up King David to rule over them. Raise him up, just like all the other dead Israelites that will be raised up and have tissue put back on their bones and all that. You can read that. There are a lot of people that believe that's still going to happen, but it isn't. You see, like the man and the woman in the garden, the nation of Israel. Now, the reason I say the nation of Israel is the nation is comprised of people. Now, in the nation, there are good people and there are bad people. Now, in the garden, there was a man and a woman, just two people, and they both disobeyed God's order. The nation had some people that were loyal to God and obeyed God's commands, but the majority were worshiping the devil and his fellow insurrectionists. God needed 100% of the nation. That's why he had said that anyone who commits any of these capital crimes must be taken outside the camp and stoned to death. And then, of course, there came along some others. There was hanging and there was... Anyway... The perpetrators of the capital crimes were to be taken outside the borders of the country and executed and never brought back in for burial or anything like that. God, in that way, was keeping the nation pure. But you had to be, they had to be pure before they could be kept pure.
And the nation had to be pure, which is why they took the miscreant, I guess you'd call it, outside for execution.
That's what I'm, yeah,
exactly.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly. So.
And by the way, we see this in God's relationship with David, because God said to David, look, I'm, you know, you're a man after my own heart, but I can't let you build the temple because there's too much blood on your hands.
Well, what about Moses?
Yeah, absolutely.
Moses didn't even get to go into the promised land.
Yep.
And the reason was, is that he did not demonstrate honor to God when he disobeyed. He disobeyed God's direct command. Now, God hadn't said, if you disobey my command, I'm going to put you to death. He didn't say that. But Moses didn't obey God. And in a moment of
peak, in a moment of peak,
insubordination, he disobeyed.
In a moment where he felt that he knew better than God.
Well, I think he kind of lost his...
Yeah, he lost his way for a moment.
His way, yeah, his train of thought. And I'm not finding fault with Moses because it takes the utmost self-discipline to continually be harangued with
lies,
insults and lies,
right,
and whining and complaining and blame. You can say, God, I've had it. Hey, you need the strength and wisdom for self-discipline.
And you know, it's interesting because that one instance did not prevent God from putting Moses into the kingdom of heaven, literally. After all, who was it that Jesus and his disciples saw on the Mount of Transfiguration?
Yeah, Moses, Abraham, not as much. I mean, Abraham did some things, but Moses and David, especially David. God had not attached to them a death decree as he did to the man and the woman in the garden. When the Son of God was executed by his Father on the cross, he was executed for the man and the woman and for all the righteous in the world. He was put to death to ransom the righteous. Now, the devil is used to having his own way. The devil is used to getting all the people that are here on the earth to worship him, to obey him, to do his will. But God constructed a masterful plan, as one would expect. The people of earth, first of all, the kingdom that God was now going to build, when he took the kingdom away from Israel, no longer was it taking a sinful people and cleansing them, making them holy, and then they become his kingdom, because that didn't work. It didn't work first time, it didn't work second time. So God said is that now the kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. Now it's always been a spiritual kingdom, but in the past God had set apart land, which he brought the people of Abraham, the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, into the land, and then they were to learn righteousness and be a righteous nation. That never happened. So what God did is he said, now there's no promised land, there's no holy land for my people to enter. Their land is in the heavens. And the way you enter that is through your spirit, because only spirits can dwell in the heavens. The way you do that is you incorporate the truth into your intellect. 100% of the truth in the intellect, you're 100% in the kingdom. So in other words, the kingdom is entered by the holy. those who are already holy. The way to the kingdom is the way of learning righteousness, meeting all the demands of righteousness, and when you've met them all, you're in the kingdom.
So, Rick, in other words, Jesus came to save a righteous kingdom. He didn't come to save people who were unrighteous and then make them righteous by fiat.
Yeah, by his death, by his death, he does not make anyone righteous. He opens the way for them to
learn righteousness,
to follow him. And that's what he means. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me, and I will show you the way to the Father. So that's what he means by that. When he told his disciples, you know the way. You already know the way. And they say, we don't even know where you're going. How do we know the way? They had a lot to learn.
They were still thinking physically and not spiritually.
Yeah, they were still thinking earthly and not heavenly. So what does that have to do with Revelation 13? What does Revelation have to do with anything? Well, in Revelation, 100% of it pertains to the end of days. The time, they say in the prophecy, the time that now is. Now is. You look at the world. I mean, if you take a deep look at the world, you can't help but see that what Revelation 13 describes is already set up. It's just not in force, but it is little by little being enforced. And I can guarantee you that if Joe Biden would ever be sworn in as president of the United States, that beast described in Revelation 13 would be in our face. It would be all over the world, and that would be it. There would not be any 2024 election. Elections will be over with. There won't be any elections. We will be into the teeth of Revelation 13, and that can't happen. Do you know why?
Actually, I do, but I'll let you see. This is, and again, dear listener, we have been, I guess you'd call it, prosecuting this idea for what, 4 months now?
Oh, it's since last spring, I think, or April, or something.
Yeah, it's been quite a while, but I mean, really digging deep into it. And the idea is that the way that Revelation 10 applies has changed the dynamic of every prophecy in Revelation, especially Revelation 13.
Well, no one has ever known the truth about Revelation 10. In fact, since it's a secret, most just kind of pass it off. Well, it's a secret, so, you know.
And God is going to reveal that secret when we get to heaven.
Well, or what, you know, when we get to the seventh trumpet in this death row finality, then we'll know, because isn't that what it says? When the seventh angel about to sound, the secret intention of God will be revealed?
Yes. And see, there are many people, and you know, there's a lot of postulation about the idea that there's going to be a rapture and people from earth are going to be taken to heaven and watch while all hell breaks loose on earth. There's all sorts of people who think that nobody who hasn't heard this broadcast, everybody believes that at some point we are going to have to go through hell in order to get to heaven. But wouldn't it be nice if there was an alternative to that, that was provable in Scripture to such an extent that it would bring you a peace that you would revel in? You said it at the beginning of this program. You said, I know the outcome of this election. How can you be so sure, Rick? How can you be so sure that Donald Trump is going to be inaugurated again?
Unlike many or most previous elections. I would say all, but the last election was a
watershed election.
Was a reality changer.
Right.
Most of the time, if you voted for a Republican or you voted for a Democrat, what you got was what you would have got from either one. It's just taken a little longer time with the Republican to get there than it would be the Democrat. The Democrats operate on a movement toward wickedness on an exponential timeline. The Republicans is kind of more like a tortoise. So you have the tortoise and the hare kind of a thing. The ultimate end is that you end up with Revelation 13, the beast with the seven heads and the 10 horns and blah, blah, blah. And,
and hell on earth.
And the devil, the dragon, gives that ruling consortium his throne and his authority and great power. But you see, there is a setup to Revelation 13, which we read in Revelation 7. Revelation 7 happens before Revelation 13. And here's the reason why. We'll start reading Revelation 7, starting the verse 1. After this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth, so that no wind could blow on the earth or on the sea, or on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun, having the seal of the living God. And he cried out in a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea. And if you take note of the trumpets, first trumpet, second trumpet, third trumpet, harm goes to the earth, the sea, and the trees, saying, do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the bondservants of our God on their foreheads. And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. Now, what I want you to understand is, as I've said before, the people of the kingdom of God are in the kingdom of God spiritually, not physically. And because God established his kingdom to be of Israel, just as John the Baptist said, not everyone, or again, Paul even said this, but John the Baptist talked about God could make children from Abraham out of the stones that were there along the riverbank. And Paul said, not everyone who is in Israel is of Israel. So, when we talk about the sons of Israel, these are the ones who will enter the kingdom of God.
Don would like to say something. Go ahead, Don.
Okay, about 5 minutes ago, Rick said he knew exactly the answer, why he's saying what he's saying. And he was distracted, so he never answered that.
Well, he's in the process right now.
Okay.
He's actually in the process of answering that.
So here's what I'll say. Have the 144,000 been sealed already?
No.
And what is happening prior to the sealing of the 144,000? The four winds. And what are the four winds?
Judgments.
See, the four winds are being held back So in other words, those winds are ready to go. All they need to do is the angel just needs to release them, and they're go. Those four winds are the four dreadful judgments of God, which you will find in the fourth seal. The fourth seal, where sword,
plague,
war, famine,
wild beast,
plague, and the fangs or stingers of wild beasts. That has not happened. That hasn't happened. The sealing hasn't happened. Yet, if Joe Biden, the deep state candidate, he's just a puppet. You know, as Donald Trump said, he's a Trojan horse, and that's all he is. He is an empty vessel. He is just a way to bring the United States into the one world order, the tyrannical oligarchy. It's all ready to go. Like I said, elements of it are already being put in place in other countries around the world. The day he would be sworn in, we would have the beast of Revelation 13 down our throats.
The hammer would fall.
But you see, where's the 144,000 when that happens? Now, that's in January, okay? That's in January. So where are the 144,000? Where's the casting down of the censer? I mean, I haven't even read in Revelation 8 where the holy people are praying. So we already have a kingdom. In Revelation, we already have a kingdom that are praying at the altar. The angel is serving at the altar. When that kingdom is prepared and ready, which they are at that time, the censers cast down to the earth. And the mighty earthquake that's felt around the world, where is that?
It has not happened.
How's that happened? It hasn't happened.
No.
So God does not have a kingdom. Well, what do we have before that? We have the servants, Revelation 24, 42 to 51, and Matthew 24, 42 to 51, and then 52, or chapter 25, 1 to 13. I'm just pulling this off the top of my head, where the five wise and the five foolish, and you know there come the bridegroom's on his way, and they're awakened, and the five wise go into the kingdom. They go into the marriage hall, and the door is shut. Where's that? You know, as far as I'm concerned, the whole kingdom is still, the kingdom of the heavens is still sound asleep. And where's the 144,000 that wakes them up? They are not around. Why? Because we're not in that reality.
We are not in that reality anymore. It has changed.
We're not in that reality. And so what I told my wife the other night, you know, when she was asking me, because it just seems like, you know, that's all, everything is gone. I mean, even with all the fraud and everything that they've proven, and they have to get a court to hear it. You see, I said, if we don't have any of that, if Joe Biden gets sworn in, we're going to have the beast of Revelation 13 down our throats before the 144,000 are sealed, before the holy people are all praying and the censer is cast down, before the five wise virgins are in the marriage hall. And so what's God going to do? He's already put himself at a disadvantage because we're going to have hell on earth down our throats without anybody but, 15, 20 people maybe standing in the gap. It can't happen. It can't happen. And I told my wife, I said, then God has lost.
And we know.
If Joe Biden is sworn in, God has lost.
And we know that that is impossible.
It is impossible. How does God win, though? God wins through the activity of his people on earth. God wins through the activity of people on earth, just like the man and the woman in the garden. How would God win if they didn't eat from the tree? That's how he would win. He didn't win. But you see, he didn't execute them.
Correct.
So he won when his son, he had another chance to win when he executed his son in the place of the man and the woman in the garden and opened the way for the righteous to enter the kingdom. So you see, the righteous are entering the kingdom. The righteous will enter the kingdom. The whole world is not a wicked people. The people of the world, for the most part, the majority of them, I would say at least two-thirds of the people of the world are not wicked. We are told that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days when the Son of Man comes. As it was in the days of Noah, the wickedness of the heart of all the people except for one. There was only one righteous man in the whole time, the whole place. One righteous man. So God destroyed the whole world with a flood because the whole world was wicked, and he saved the one righteous man and his family. You see, another one is that the world is not so cold with wickedness that their hearts, the love of most for whom? God? For their fellow man? Most of them have gone cold, is cold. They don't care about others. They only care about themselves. They don't care about their fellow men. They're all in it for themselves. No. You see, the wicked in the world today are in the vast minority. Most of the people care about their neighbor. And God has promised that if he is not going to bring death and destruction on people who are behaving in a godly manner, now they may not know who he is, but they're behaving in a godly manner. So why would he run them through a tyrannical, oligarchic world government to make sure that the prophecy and revelation is fulfilled in the way that he gave it? Well, that's already behind us. That already cannot happen.
And the reason why those prophecies were given was just in case that happened, that would be a wake-up call for the people of Earth, so that they would change. But at this point, they don't need it.
Did he destroy Nineveh?
No.
When he said he would? He said, tell them I'm going to destroy this city. You let them know. He didn't say, see if they repent.
Right.
He said, you tell them, you let them know. And so he did that. And then when God didn't destroy the city, he was all PO'd at God. Because God had embarrassed him.
So what we have here is the difference between a life road, life and prosperity, and death and adversity prophecy. And when God deals with people, he always gives them a choice. In 2016, we made our choice.
2016, we went on to a life road reality.
Exactly. Well, thank you, Rick. That was a wonderful. That was wonderful, and I appreciate it. I hope that our listeners did too. Please join us tomorrow at 10 a.m. Pacific time for another edition of the Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. Take a look at our website at spiritoftruthministry.net. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis saying so long for now. We will see you tomorrow at 10 a.m.